Well, good morning to everybody who's in the building and to those who are further afield. I was saying to some folk as I came in, this is probably the most casual attire I have worn in any act of worship in 42 years. And here, thanks to you and knowing what you all be like, forgiving, accepting, and setting a good example, especially with the heat. And this particular shirt, ironically, I bought on a Saturday afternoon when there was torrential rain crashing down, but in Miami. But the next day the sun came out and I'm glad I bought it. And it's really good to be here and looking round. Again, the investment in not only just into the building, which is important, but actually into community, thanks to this gathered community here and its leadership. So well done, everybody. When I was asked to preach, which is not a new experience, I'll hasten to add, do you know what I thought? I can't remember the last time I did it. I'm going to preach on Paul's first letter to those Christians living in Corinth, chapter 13. Now, this is a passage that most of us will think, know that one, had it at our wedding or whatever, because it's a great passage, which I'm going to read to you. It's not very long. And there are times, and I don't do it, but actually, there are times when I think this should be compulsory reading every morning to set us up as we go out. There are lots of other great passages, and I'm grateful for the passage from Isaiah to remind us about God's using us. So, that first letter to those Christians in Corinth. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. But as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, and the greatest of these is love. A long time ago, for some of you, but not for some of us, 1967, okay? I was a teenager, and the Beatles came out with their hit song, All You Need Is Love. And I do find it interesting, showing what an old fogey I've become, that I think those great hits have lasted much longer than some of the stuff I accidentally listen to now. I'm sounding a bit like my dad in the 60s when he said, "What rubbish are you listening to?" But you've got to admit, there are some great classics which still work. 1967. In that same year, and I didn't realise this, the trogs. Remember the trogs? I'm just looking over for you. You'll remember the trogs, aren't you? Yes, you won't. But they were the ones who wrote, produced and delivered, sang in 1967, Love Is All Around. Now I know Wet have done it, and I know that you'll come across it in a very popular film, but it was 67. So in 1967, probably at that wonderful time when, you know, young people were very optimistic, two great hit songs, All You Need Is Love, and Love Is All Around. That is my limit of musical information that I will be provided this morning, because I can't remember any. But of course, those are good and reasonable statements, but they were not new then, and they're not new now. Thanks to the God of love, we have the capacity to love and be loved. It may have been more difficult over this last year or so, but nevertheless, it's true. And in this letter that Paul wrote, only about 20 or 30 years after Jesus died, so he wrote it a long time ago, to a community not much bigger than the number of people in this room today, which is quite a thought, isn't it? But way back then, he was writing, inspired by the Holy Spirit, these very powerful ideas about love. And the first thing I want to pick up as I just glide through some of these great phrases and passages, the first thing he says, I may talk in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but if I do not have love, I'm a noisy gong. We must not be persuaded by the smart and clever words of those who speak into the public place, and sometimes in more private settings. We can often think that somehow other people know better than us. Other people, especially those who perhaps have power or leadership. We've been praying for the leaders of the G7 group, and they are mere mortals. That's why they need praying for. They are no different from you or I in many ways, and they will have clever words to say. But if there's no love behind those words, no deep commitment to God's creation and the acknowledgement that it's God's creation, then we will be in trouble, and we need to pray for them and many others in a similar position. I don't want to be a noisy gong. You don't want to be a noisy gong. Well, if you want to avoid that problem and actually talk some sense when you say things, then we need to be, if you like, prayerfully and spiritually aware of that love that really matters and really lasts. Otherwise, we have nothing to offer. And I believe that as Christians, we have a great deal to offer. I believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ is life-changing. It's world-changing. That's always been the case, but the world has a wonderful way of just trying to cover it over, both internationally and locally and within a community. We can get so distracted very quickly that we forget about the power of love. But everything we do, whether as individual Christians, those of us who are trying to find a faith, perhaps some of you are new to the Christian faith and the teachings of Jesus, or whether we're institutions or churches or big networks, if we do not have that deep and abiding love that comes from God, then even if we have the power to move mountains, Paul reminds us, it will be of no value whatsoever. So let's not get above ourselves, okay? Now, for some of you, that won't be difficult. For some of us, me, we have to work much harder in getting over ourselves. Because when we speak, we need to speak, yes, into the truth, but we need to do it in love. And it's not only about speaking. And I'm going to come on to some more reflections now. If we don't have the love, that deep abiding love, then I'm not sure what we can actually achieve. Okay, and that's what Paul was saying. But what does this love look like? Well, Paul begins to unpack that. And again, these phrases you will be familiar with. I mean, if only I stayed with that first phrase, love is patient. Whoa, we could spend a lifetime working on that one. Love is patient. How often are we impatient? What? I'll rephrase that just to make you feel less bad than me. How often am I impatient? I mean, I've told you about my capacity to forget the principle of love when I'm driving the car. You know, I'm sure I've shared that with you. Mrs. Wright often tells me, particularly if I'm wearing my clerical collar, don't forget people can lip read, especially the words you're saying, Paul. So let's just be realistic about these things. Love is patient. But Paul's got lots more to say. And it seems to me that we have a model on how we're supposed to love. To know what love looks like. Because you know when you've seen it. It's always a challenge, it seems to me. How do you know when you're in love with somebody? How do they know you're in love with them? Is it about just gifts or the way we behave? But then we can be quite close to people and we will love them, but that love may be different. It's a challenging one. But when we look at Jesus, we get the real big clues on what love should look like. Because he just lived it out completely, perfectly, brilliantly. What does love look like? Well, let's just quickly go through some of the aspects of Jesus. How he talks, Jesus. He was firm but fair. And the thing about Jesus, if you look at his conversations with people, he has always got their best interests at heart when he talks to them. To the broken and the disappointed, to the powerful and the corrupted, Jesus speaks to them in love, talks to them, interestingly, in the language that they understand. That's another clue for us. No good having clever words, smart words, theological words. We need to speak to people in words they understand. They get it. And we can get much closer to them, which is what Jesus was able to do. How he treats people, that's a huge clue about what love should really look like. Whether they were good or less good, Jesus always treated people the same because he loved them. And he had their long-term well-being at heart, which meant he wasn't afraid to pull people up, even those closest to him. I mean, it seems so kind of pious now, but get behind me, Satan, is a deeply, deeply wounding thing to say to one of your close friends, to one of your followers, your disciples. And that's exactly what he said to Peter. And he said that because he cared about Peter. He didn't want to hurt him or wound him or belittle him. He just wanted to bring home. Now, we may not have the integrity or courage to speak quite like Jesus did, but we need to think about that quality of the way we speak and the way we treat. And, of course, Jesus healed people, a whole variety of people, spiritually, physically, mentally. Now, we may not have all of the gifts, but we may have the capacity to bring restoration to people. Now, at the moment, it's quite difficult, literally, to touch people. But don't underestimate your power to heal by what you do and what you say and how you treat people. Because there are many, many broken people who are in need of healing, and the way they're going to be healed is through being loved and cared for and respected and valued and understood. Because nobody else is doing that to them. But we can, either as individuals or as a church community. And then, slightly differently, look at how Jesus handled himself. When he was in the wilderness, he was tempted. And he was given some options, some of them powerful options, that he could express about how he was going to work, how he was going to engage with the world. And he thought, no, this is not the way. I'm going to have to do it differently. That was a really hard time for Jesus. We mustn't underestimate those 40 days in the wilderness, that time of testing. And of course, the pinnacle of that love is how he let himself be taken and crucified. He gave himself up. It was not a mistake. It wasn't some ghastly accident. Somebody got the paperwork wrong when addressing Pilate, or the Romans had misread the instructions. Jesus gave himself up for the sake of the cross and for the sake of the salvation of the world. And he himself talked about the greater love than actually just giving yourself up for your friends. He always kept the Father very close to him, and he kept the Holy Spirit close to him. And that's how Jesus was able to function, if you like, using that rather crude term, how he was able to love. His relationship with the Father was perfect, and his relationship with the Spirit to be guided was spot on. But he was prepared to share that relationship with other people. He didn't keep it to himself. He said, you can call the Father, God, the Creator, Abba. You can be intimate. And I will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus was not keeping things to himself. He was generous to a fault and more. And that's another sign of love, it seems to me. Now, we will struggle to be that loving, that responsive. I get that. But by God's grace, we are able to do some of this stuff. Can't do it on our own, because we will fail. Our humanity will eventually kick in, and we will be less patient and less forgiving, less tolerant. We'll remember the scores that need to be settled, because we're human. But by the power of God's Spirit, actually, that can be swept away, and that love can come through us, both as individuals and as a church community. And boy, do people need to be loved in that way, without the conditions, but with a quality that they can't imagine. I came across a saying some years ago, and I wish I could source it, but I can't, because it is, I think, brilliant. See, Jesus is God's body language. I'll say it again. Jesus is God's body language. We have all this stuff about, look at their body language. What's it really saying? What are they really thinking? Well, if you want to know what God's like, look at Jesus, because he is God's body language, especially when it comes to love. So, Paul, in this brief chapter, in this letter, tries to unpack what love looks like, could be, how it can work. And then right at the end, he just reminded us it's not going to end. There is a danger that we somehow think, oh, you know, it's been a difficult year, and there is a lot of darkness around. There's always been darkness around. Remember in John's opening verses, he reminds the reader that the darkness will not overcome the light. Jesus is the light of the world. Remember that in those darker moments. Remember that when you feel there's nobody around for you, when you feel isolated, unloved, rejected, because it happens to us. But that love will be there. You can draw on that love. Offer up your prayer with your words, and God's love will not fail you. But remember, as a follower of Jesus, you may find yourself having to live out that love, because we're not selfish people. We're not in it for ourselves, what I can get, what my life could be. This is something that God wants to work through his Christian communities, his churches, with the individuals that make them up. So together we can be stronger, and you together do amazing things to express that love of God in this community. And that's fantastic. And I hope that God will continue to bless you in your endeavours, both as community gathered, working in community, but also in those other places where you inhabit your places of work or recreation, that love may be carried through. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.